Hey friends, it's Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I've got some breaking news for you that many of you have emailed me about, so I wanted to make sure that I covered this story with you to let you know what I know about these quarantine camps coming to Orange County. There is a story that ran in the voiceoforangecounty.org, which is an online newspaper, and I'm going to be talking about this facility right here. Tell me what you think. What adjectives come to mind when you look at this image? Let me know in a comment. I see something very dreary, very foreboding. Now, obviously, this has not been redone, but I want to talk to you about this new public health campus, and we're going to be talking about exactly what's going to be going on there. And then I would like you to draw your conclusion. Did I even share my screen? I don't think I did. Take a look at this image here. Gosh, I'm getting flustered because it's so disturbing. Here is the image, and it looks very foreboding, very dreary, very oppressive. And then I'm going to be talking about where this is, what's happening, what programs they're bringing, how much it's costing, where it's located. And I'd like to thank all of you that sent me the link to my attorney, Nicole Pearson's interview that she did about this. We know about what's going on because it was reported in the Voice of Orange County. So before I go any further, in fact, let me just hop right on over to the website of my sponsor. And I hope that you're going to try this, friends. I've been telling you about the keto diet for many, many, many months. I do this. You've been asking me about my own health and fitness, my new look and all of that. And this is a big part of it. So let me bring to you the message from the sponsor, and you can find out more at ketowithpeggy.com. It is a money back guarantee. You can try it. A risk-free trial, friends. And the message is, if your New Year's resolution is to improve your health, like 48% of other Americans, here's something that can really help. You can support your weight management goals with this amazing keto powder. This supplement helps with attaining and maintaining a healthy body weight by helping elevate your body's levels of ketones. And this in turn aids with appetite management, metabolism, and overall energy levels. And I can vouch for that personally. Tens of thousands of Americans have turned to this method to help manage their weight. So what do you have to lose except for your weight? You can get your order for up to 51% off today. Plus, you are going to receive several free bonuses. So I would love for you to go to ketowithpeggy.com, and you can also click the link below. And again, there's free shipping, bonuses, money back guarantee. I hope that you actually are going to try this, friends. Let's talk about what is going on in my county of Orange County, California. Even if you don't live in Orange County, even if you don't live in California, I know that this is of great importance to you because California, Los Angeles, San Diego, these are the ground zero for what is going on in terms of tyranny and oppression in our country. I know that because I'm living it. And Orange County is a very small county geographically, but it has over 3 million people. I just saw statistics when I went on the Orange County Board of Supervisors page, and it said 1.2 million people have gotten their cocktail. I'm astounded. First of all, I'm a person that doesn't really believe in statistics unless I sat there and compiled them myself, but it does give a snapshot of at least what the powers that shouldn't be are telling us about the scenario and the situation. And so if a third of the county has already become a human pincushion, why can't they leave the rest of us alone? Oh no, it's not going to stop there. Let's begin with the story that came up in the Voice of Orange County. And the reason why this is important for you, regardless of where you are, is because we need to keep our eyeballs on these public serpents, as I like to call them. I was asked in my deposition, what do I mean by a serpent? And I gave obviously a very honest answer because I'm all about the truth. And I said, a serpent is a character in the Bible that is a symbol of evil. And evil is in opposition to truth and to God's laws. So that's exactly why I use that phrase. Now, there are those individuals in government that do serve the people. I know some of them personally, but I use that phrase public serpents when I talk about those that are trying to thwart our individual liberties. And I also want to say this very clearly for anyone that missed my video yesterday about the not so great Barrington Declaration, which they're promoting this idea that the role of the government is to protect our health. That's what they've been pushing this entire narrative in these, for these last few years. In fact, for longer than a few years. And because in California, there is such a great number of homeless people. See if you can follow my premise here. And if you draw the same conclusion that I do. So the premise is this, this is the statement, the argument that I'm making is that there is such a large number of homeless people in California. I personally believe that they, the public servants, are allowing this to happen. See if you can follow my logic here. They're allowing these images, videos, news stories, blog posts, firsthand interviews with homeless people so that compassionate individuals like myself and you will say, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Why can't they do something about this? How can these people be living on the street? And it is horrible. And I do have compassion and my heart breaks, especially in these cold nights that we've been having for people that are out in the elements. And you know, and I know that there are many people with a whole range of reasons why they are on the streets. You know, we know that. But the fact is nothing of substantial means has been done to take care of this. A good friend of mine said, Peggy, it's so simple. There are empty military bases around California. In fact, there was a very important one that was called the El Toro Marine Base, and they flew in planes and all of that. It's giant, and they made a park out of it. Couldn't they have used the barracks, the facilities that already exist? There are bunks, there are washrooms, there are kitchens. These military installations are sitting empty. Why can't they house those who wish to go into these places and actually give them a job? They could fix it up, they could cook meals, they could be employed, and they could begin to develop a sense of self-worth and identity and contribution and so forth. Those seem to be very natural, understandable, and attainable ideas and ideals in order to handle this. Millions, probably billions, maybe even trillions if you added it all up, of dollars have been thrown at the homeless problem. Many organizations are getting grants to study it and to come up with ways to fix it and all of that. But as the Bible says, we know you by your fruit, and it's pretty rotten fruit because there ain't no good results, if I can use a slang language like that. I drive through these areas and I see these individuals that are living on the street. And what's happening is it's ballooning. It's not even getting better. It's getting worse. Now, here's my premise. I believe that the powers that be are allowing that to happen so that then people like you and I can feel, or you and me can feel so outraged by it that when they come out with a solution, which might be distasteful or maybe even unethical or immoral, if we were not feeling this way, we would let it go by because we'd say, well, of course they can't live on the street. Of course they should be rounded up and physically given psychiatric treatment against their will and put into hospitals or centers. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. Could it just be, I ask you, that the government allows these conditions to become so horrible that we agree, we meaning we the people, agree to some measures for handling this that we normally wouldn't agree to? That's where I'm going. That's my premise. I want to see if you draw the same conclusion. We're going to begin. I've got a couple things to show you. The first thing is we're going to go right on over to the story. And this is what's very troubling to me when we hear about exactly what kind of programs they are looking to put into place in this facility. Here we go. Orange County approves construction of a $78 million Irvine Health Campus. It's all about health. It's all about health. We're also going to be looking at the WEF and the CDC so that you will see how the mental health is now going to be the next public health crisis. They've been putting it in place for many years. Here's the facility. The site of the county's proposed public health campus at the former El Toro base, as I was talking about, in Irvine. All right, here we go. A nearly $80 million contract to design and build a public health campus in Irvine has won unanimous approval from county supervisors. Although details on the plan are limited, supervisors had no public discussion, which, by the way, is a violation of the Brown Act. And stay tuned because I will be bringing you more information about the Brown Act. I'm going to jot that down as a follow-up video. It's very important that everyone understand, regardless of what state you live in, how important it is that we protect our ability to see public business conducted in public. Agenda documents say that it will feature a public health lab, an agency operations center, and other facilities, but they don't describe what they'll do or how they'll be different from existing facilities in Santa Ana. Here is an existing facility. I had it here for you, friends. Anyway, I'll find that for you. I'm coming up with all of my other ones. I'll bring that to you in a follow-up video. There's another facility called Be Well. And again, it looks really creepy to me. It seems very one world disorder, and I don't care for it at all. The county CEO, Frank Kim, had no answers Tuesday or Wednesday when asked by phone for details. Here's what I want to show you. The public health laboratory. Okay, let me just stop right there. A public health laboratory. What do you think of when you hear that word laboratory? The word that comes to mind for me is experiments. Yeah, I don't want to be experimented on. In fact, I won't be experimented on because I'm not going to participate in any of that. A public health laboratory? Exactly what are they going to be doing? Well, let's continue and we'll dig deeper now, shall we? Funding will come from the federal coronavirus response dollars, known as the American Rescue Plan Act. I've spoken about that at great detail. It's also referred to as ARP. Schools have gotten it. Employers have gotten it. That is the money that they are using to force you to do things that you object to and that you do not want to consent to. That's where it comes from. Now, this is what really troubles me. I'm going to increase the size here so you can be troubled as well. The new campus will feature a public health lab with a biosafety lab component. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you a law in California that allows the health officer to take you to this place against your will. So if that's not a quarantine camp or a fill in the blank camp, I don't know what is. There's going to be a communicable disease control services. Oh, you mean like this? That's how they're going to control the disease? By forcing you to become a human pincushion? I don't know. I'm asking questions. I'm posing questions. An emergency management center. Well, yes, there should be one because apparently the one at the sheriff's department doesn't work because they've only been meeting quarterly in this great emergency that we've been having. Yes, quarterly. An agency operations center. Security fences. Why? Isn't it a public building? And 240 parking spaces. All right. I don't know if that number means anything to anyone. Construction is proposed to start next summer with a goal of substantial completion by December of 2024. That's 1 year, 2 years. Here we go from now. Or it'd be about a year and a half from the start. The site is at 8226 Marine Way, which is along the railroad tracks. And it is less than a 20-minute walk from the Irvine train station. The mental health campus known as Be Well also is being funded by federal cooties response dollars that came to the country. I will show you that Be Well coming up. And it doesn't look too ominous, but this certainly does. What do you think about this, friends? A biosafety lab component, a communicable disease control services component, an emergency management center, agency operations center, and security fences right near the railroad tracks. Before I go on, what say you? Does that rub anybody the wrong way? Now, you know that I am not one who's going to put you in the spin cycle and monger fear, okay? I don't monger fear. And I'm not a flu mongerer like all the headlines are. But this is something that many of you asked me to cover, so I do want to show it to you. And I will give you my solution at the end of this video. What I want to share with you next is, well, let me do this. Another part of my premise, when the powers that shouldn't be want us to accept something, they will start many years ago, and they will start to put it into the public consciousness. They want us to see, read, hear, know about this at a great level and in great depth. Think about over the last couple of years, let me know in a comment below if you remember any of these stories about all of the celebrities that are coming out with their mental health stories. Suddenly, everybody has had a mental health crisis. All of these celebrities and athletes and politicians and singers and writers and all of that. People in the public eye. Over the last several years, I've noticed that because I noticed trends and patterns, and I have a feeling that you do as well. And I've noticed that there are so many stories of people coming out with their stories of mental health and how we shouldn't let it hide in the shadows, and that everybody should get treatment, and that they've gotten treatment, and that they're getting better. I'm not saying that mental health issues don't exist. In fact, yeah, I think there's a big problem and it's getting worse, especially with those that believe you should suffocate yourself and you can't get medical care unless you're a human pincushion, and your employers that don't believe that your sincerely held religious beliefs are true, and men that want to dress as women. Yeah, there are a lot of mental health issues out there. Don't get me wrong. But I also believe that this has been promoted and pushed into the public mind, so to speak, so that people will be more receptive to say, well, yes, mental health is a horrible issue. And of course it's growing. And so if you do a quick scan of the headlines, as I have done, you'll see that they are tying all of the response from the cooties measures. And they're saying, look, so many people are suffering from suicidal tendencies and depression. And there has been an increase in all of that, which is so tragic. And it's not because of the cooties, it's because of what the government did. So yes, it is accurate and it's authentic and it's legitimate, but I believe that they are pushing that to a greater degree so that you and I will be more willing to accept what's coming next, which is in California, they just passed a law saying that on the written, signed, recommendations of doctors that you can be committed to a psychiatric facility against your own will, right? They're setting the stage for this. What's going to be the next likely thing? What is that? What did you say? You're absolutely right. That individuals like me, possibly you, who are not following what the government says we are supposed to do and think and act and behave and be, they're going to say that that is a mental illness. When in fact, thinking that you're sick and being tested for an illness when you don't have any symptoms or being tested anyway frequently, that's a mental illness. And it is called hypochondria. And it's also Munchausen's, when you almost make yourself sick. Munchausen's by proxy is when you make someone else sick, or you even put them or create conditions where their life is at risk, so then you can come in and be the savior and save them. It is a mental illness. What does evil do? It inverts everything. That's why we're seeing the men dressing as women, and they're putting tampons in California in the, ninth grade, 9 year old boys' bathrooms in the public schools in California, because gender equity, menstrual equity is what they call it. There's a law about menstrual equity in California that boys have the right to have to menstruate. This is a mental illness. And when I call that out and say, that's a mental illness, they're going to say that I'm the one with the mental illness, or you, because that is the nature of evil. There are all sorts of Bible verses. You don't even need a Bible verse to know that when they tell you up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left, that by its nature is evil, it's destructive, it's demonic, fill in the blank. So they have already created a law in California saying that when, I think it's two doctors have to agree or attest that this person should be committed to a mental health or a psychiatric ward against their will, well, wouldn't that be a beautiful place to take them, right near the train tracks with all of the bio, whatever laboratories and all of that? Just asking, just asking. Let's see what else is in the headlines, shall we? We're going to take a look over here. Let me get this going. Okay. Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. What I did is I wanted to see what was going on over at the World Economic Forum, because you know and I know that a lot of these public servants are being bankrolled. And by that, I don't have any evidence other than their behavior, their actions, and their reactions. How could they sit on this council day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, hearing testimony from parents that are sobbing about their children that committed suicide, about business owners that had to go under after building their business with blood, sweat, and tears for years, after hearing from doctors and nurses and teachers and people in all walks of life coming in before the board, giving testimonies saying how these measures have ruined people's lives, yet they haven't changed a thing. The only thing I can think of is either blackmail or bankrolling, or they are evil. Is there another answer? Can anyone come up with a different answer other than to say that they are the puppets dancing to the puppet masters, and as the puppet masters are pulling their strings? Who are these puppet masters? Well, the World Economic Forum. Let's take a look now, shall we? Oh, yes. All bets are off. The gloves are off. I'm not holding back at all. Here we go. Global Future Council on Mental Health. So the profound disruptions to daily life brought about by the cooties. No, it wasn't cooties that brought it about. Let's be clear. It was you that brought it about, using cooties as the cover story, all right? Including movement restrictions, lack of physical contact. Notice they're not saying mandate anymore, because you and I have told them to stop using that word. We know that it has no legal authority. Economic anxieties and uncertainty about the future are leading to an unprecedented rise in rates of depression, anxiety, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, now they want to come to be the savior on how they are going to fix that. Here we go. More about mental health. This is, again, the World Economic Forum, and there's that hexagon. I've spoken, I did a whole video about the hexagons. I do not care for this logo. You're going to see it everywhere. I also believe that is one of the symbols of this new world disorder, and there's a lot more to it. I spoke about the hive mind and so forth, and there we go. Every time I see that, I know it's bad news. Here's another one. Mental health, America's next public health crisis. So what are they going to do, friends? Are they going to lock us down until everybody is mentally well? Yeah, they're using this, they're setting it up, and they're going to use this as a slippery slope to get people into these mental health facilities. That's what I believe. Let me show you a couple more here, just of the headlines, and then I'll take a look at your comments. So I was showing you this one, the mental health, America's next public health crisis. The past few years have been extraordinary. That's not an adjective I would use, all right? The emotional toll, federal and state resources, paths to prevention, intervention, you hear that? Yeah, they're gonna intervene whether you want it or not. Treatment and recovery. The administration, right? The Brandon administration is directing $2.5 billion in funding to address the nation's mental illness and addiction crisis. So again, this is where the states are going to get money. These counties are going to get money. They're going to build these facilities, and it's not going to stop there. They're going to bombard you with advertisements, with memes, with all of the celebrities, with Dolly Parton and everybody else that came out, you know, about the jab. Now they're going to come out about how you should be institutionalized because it's for your health. And by the way, why don't you do it for other people's mental health? Exactly. They'll probably come out with that. You have to be hospitalized so somebody else will get well. That's their thinking, because they are the ones that are mentally ill. Let me show you here, CDC, same thing. These headlines just don't stop. And new CDC data, illuminate. All right. How do you like that word? Uh-huh. Illuminate, Illuminati. Youth mental health threats during the cooties fake. All right. And it goes on and on and on. And of course, this was earlier this year. They are going to continue to push this narrative. What have we got here? Here's what I want to show you. Okay. California law. California law on the books. Are you ready? 120-140. California Health and Safety Code 120-140. Upon being informed by a health officer of any contagious, infectious, or communicable disease, the department may take measures as are necessary to ascertain the nature of the disease and prevent its spread. That's the law that they've been sitting on and using and drawing their authority from all this time. But let me point out this word necessary. Hang on, we're going to finish the law in a moment. It gets even more grotesque. When I was in my deposition and we were talking about the law, and I pointed that out, that there is no evidence. Now, evidence is fact, right? Or information, material information that you bring as proof of your position. There is no evidence that any of these measures were necessary at all. And for anyone that says, well, Peggy, you're ridiculous. More people would have died if we hadn't closed everything down. And my question is, how do you know? Where's the evidence? How do you know that if we hadn't shut everything down, how do you know that fewer people wouldn't have died? How do you know that fewer people wouldn't have gotten sick? You don't know because there was no control group. You are going on a conjecture. You're going on a theory. It's not even enough information for a theory. You're going on an idea. It's a premise, and it's a faulty premise because I cannot draw a logical conclusion from that statement because it's not possible to confirm that. The same thing with this. Let's talk about the flu season. I always ask myself this over the many, 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 many years when I worked at the university and they would have their flu clinics and people would dutifully march in to get jabbed. And they would say, well, you know, it will prevent you from getting sick. And then if you do get sick, you won't get as sick. And my question was, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know that if I got the jab, that was prevented me from getting sick? How do you know? Where's your evidence? How do you know that I wouldn't have gotten sick anyway? You don't know. And by the way, if you're going to tell me, well, if you still get sick, it wouldn't have been as bad. How do you know? Let's say that somebody did get the jab, the cocktail, and they still got sick. How do you know that it wasn't this that caused it? How do you know that if they hadn't done it, they wouldn't have gotten sick? How do you know that that level of severity, how do you know that that wasn't worse than if they hadn't have gotten the jab? Maybe it was less. There is no way. This is the fault of all of this. And they'll never have an answer because there is no answer. So when we get back to the word necessary, there never was, and to my mind, there never can be, any compelling evidence or proof that any of this was necessary. How was keeping children away and home from school, which I'm glad they did. Trust me, that was a boon because it was less indoctrination, fewer hours of indoctrination, more and more people turned to homeschooling. But how do they know, the public health officers, how do they know that that actually had any impact on keeping people well? They don't. So this law says that the health officer can take any measures as necessary to protect the public health. I've spoken about that before. There's no such thing as public health. There's only individual health, right? You're going to see my husband here at 6 o'clock. We're going to be over at his YouTube channel called True Hope with David Hall. I hope you'll join us. We're going to be doing prayerful support, spiritual encouragement. This is a regular feature, True Hope Tuesday. It's not on this channel. I will have a link for you below, or just go to the channel is at True Hope David. So YouTube/@True Hope David. And you'll see he has a little bit of a cold. He's got a little bit, losing his voice, is a little under the weather. How is it that the two of us, husband and wife in the same household, how is it that we're not sharing the same public health? How is it that I'm not under the weather, he's a little under the weather? So when you're talking about public health, it doesn't even make sense to me. There's no such thing. There's individual health. Why would they give the same dose of a medicine to every single person in the world when you cannot even get a prescription for some kind of pain medicine until they've run your labs to see if your liver can handle it? Just asking. Why? Because there's no such thing as public health. It's individual health. Now, there's public sanitation. There is, the public can be affected by dirty air, which there is a lot of, contaminated water, fluoride. There's a lot of that. There can be contamination in terms of EMF. That affects the public, I suppose, because we are the public and there are many of us. But individuals react to those things differently as well. My husband got a little case of the hives from something he was allergic to. I was eating the same thing. I wasn't allergic to it. So how in the world, I'm just going to say it, the unmoving stationary world, how in the world can this medical treatment be the same for everyone? That's another question. So yeah, I reject this notion of public health. What it says actually is that the department may take measures as are necessary. Let me share this with you. Just about done here, friends. As are necessary to ascertain the nature of the disease and prevent its spread. All right. To that end, so my question is, what is necessary? Who defines it? How have you proven it? Many of these things were not necessary in my mind. Here's the most troubling. To that end, the department may, if it considers proper, take possession or control of the body of any living person. Did you hear that? Or the corpse of any deceased person, or diseased, I suppose. To that end, in order to prevent the spread of a contagious or infectious or communicable disease, which you know and I know has not been defined or isolated or shown yet, the department may, if it considers it proper, take possession or control of the body of any living person. That means you. It means that Teddy here and my Elsie and my husband. It means your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your siblings. Are you okay with that? That's why many of you left California. Are you okay with the state of California having a law on the books that says it doesn't matter if you object to psychiatric or mental health treatment? Doesn't matter. If a doctor says you should have it, you're going to get it. Oh, and by the way, the health department, if it considers it proper, yeah, let's define that word proper. How do they arrive at that conclusion? They may take possession of you in California. Yeah. No wonder Newsom is U-Haul's salesman of the year. Friends, I want to give you a solution. I want to give you a solution. And number one is to be educated. Let me know in a comment, did you know about this law? Did you notice this push for mental health? You may be saying, Peggy, I'm all in favor of it. I have mental illness in my family. I think people should get treatment. That's great. That's your decision. Do you think the government should be involved in that? Why can't it just be your own doctor? Why does the government have to take a role in that? I started this broadcast by saying the role of the government is not to protect your health. It's to protect your rights. It's to protect your freedom. It's to uphold the laws that protect our rights. That's the role of the government. It's not to protect your health. Do not allow that phrase to become into your vernacular, just like mandate, mandate, mandate. Everybody was talking about the mandate. Finally, they got rid of that word, I think in large part because I've been teaching people it had no meaning in the way that they were using it. So you'll see now, I did a video about the language and how they changed the language. Now they call it protocol and policies and strategies and rules and measures because it's not a mandate. And they were using that to scare people. They're going to use this to scare people as well. I want you to educate yourself and I want you to educate others. And I want you to know that if that ever happens where you feel that you are going to be coerced or compelled or influenced into going into one of these mental health facilities, if you feel that you are being asked questions that are out of bounds when you go to the doctor, if your doctor is saying that they want to talk to your 12-year-old on their own, do not allow it to happen. You are the parent. And I've heard from many parents telling me that they went for a very, their child sprained their ankle or something or broke their nose and they had to go to the doctor and the doctor wanted to question the 12-year-old on their own about who knows what, because they didn't want the parent there. Usually it's about depression. Are there firearms in the home? What gender do you believe you are? And they've now got, in California anyway, when you're filling out the forms, they ask you gender assigned at birth and current gender preference. And it was so funny. One of my Healthy Americans said he was there with his wife and he checked the box, gender assigned at birth, male, and then gender preference. He put female. He said, I prefer females. I'm married to one. That's what we have to do. We have to outsmart them. We have to outwit them. I thought that was very clever. You do not allow your children to be seen by the doctor privately. You do not allow the doctor to start talking about these mental health issues. I would not personally would put any of that in any type of public record or it's just gotten to that point, friends. I wouldn't discuss it with any insurance company. All of that, you're going to be tracked on. And so that is one solution that I would do is just fly under the radar when it comes to that. It's likely that people that are on antidepressants and going, you know, they're going to be making a note of that. And I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not going to give you medical advice, but my medical team at the Healthy American will do so. So I want you to join us with Dr. Chari and her brother from the Chari Center of Health. And we do this on the first Thursday of every month. You can go back and watch the video from November and the video from December. And she is a licensed MD, but she is a holistic practitioner that focuses on natural health. She wants you off the antidepressants and all that kind of stuff. There are ways for natural healing that you can seek out. So that would be another strategy and solution that I would do. You want to fly under the radar when it comes to this. I would not speak about it publicly. I would be careful who you talk about these things with, and certainly be informed, be educated. And if it ever did come to a point where a doctor wants to say that you or your child or a loved one has to be committed or go to the hospital or any of that, you get another doctor's opinion, and you can get a court order to stop it. So you can get an injunction against that. If you want to learn about court and court procedures, I also have that course called How to Win in Court. I just did a video interview with Dr. Graves, who is the author of that course. I'm taking it. It's like law school in a weekend. You don't have to spend $100,000 to go to law school. You can educate yourself with this program. So stay educated, stay aware, stay alert as to what these hogwashers are trying to do. And for heaven's sakes, don't fall for it. And I know that you won't. Thank you, everybody. I want you to join me at the top of the hour. It's going to be, in fact, let me take you over there. It's going to be over at YouTube. And it is, I'm going to cue this up for you. It is True Hope with David Hall. And here we go. I've got this. It's going to be so fun. It's an interactive time together where we are going to pray for you. And this is what we did last week. Why do bad things happen to good people? I hope that you are going to subscribe. Let's get that 3.49 up. Let's get up and over to that 3.5. And you can see the videos. There are a lot of his sermons that are here from Beach Church. There I am nodding in approval in the background. So I hope that you will take advantage of all of the spiritual encouragement and prayerful counsel that he provides. Pastor David and I have both gone through a pastoral counseling training. So we are not, licensed by the state as therapists, anything like that, but it is prayerful counsel and spiritual encouragement so that you can feel more empowered to keep your head above the waves in these stormy seas of life. I'm so grateful to have you on board, friends. Many of you are asking how you can support me with a year-end financial gift, and you can do that over at thehealthyamerican.org. There's a big red button that says donate, and I also have a snail mail address for you in the description box below. I thank all of you that have sent me cards and letters. I share those frequently on the show. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be bringing you more breaking news. There's so much to cover. Of course, they've got another contagion event coming on. There's climate lockdowns. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, wants you to get rid of your pets because they are a threat to climate change. They're just never going to stop. And neither are we. We are going to fight back every step of the way. You should be encouraged. We are here. And there are so many of us, friends. They don't want us to know that, but there are thousands, millions of us that are standing strong, standing for truth, standing for freedom. And I'm so grateful to have you on board. I'll see you soon then in the very next broadcast.